what's up? What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining me on another Journey Through the Multilens. I'm your host, Kay Salozzi. How's everybody doing today? Hopefully everybody's doing good. Today's episode is a special one. Today we are going to be talking about some of the issues that are going on in some of the international countries, specifically in Nigeria, and some of the civil unrest that's going on. We know that here in the U.S., it's kind of relevant to today's times, because here in the U.S. there's been a lot of protests and a lot of racial inequality and issues between the people and the government. And we see some similarities to that over in Nigeria. Would really be great to kind of talk about and listen to firsthand accounts from people that have either experienced it or have friends and family that have experienced it. So today I brought in a few guests, and I'm really excited to have you guys all on. Some are student athletes, some are musicians, but basically all of the guests that I brought on today have some kind of experience with what's going on internationally and domestically. So without further ado, everyone, welcome to the show. Kaladi, can you please introduce yourself and tell us what it is that you are studying at OSU?
Hi, guys. What's going on? My name is Kaladi, and I go by the artist name K. So I'm currently studying communication. And I'm a senior, so I'm going into my final year. I was on a soccer team from 2017, and I've recently just finished my time period there, and obviously going into working on my brand and diving into the creative process of music and media.
Oh, nice. Well, welcome to the show, Kaladi. Next, we have Basit. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah, Basit.
Basit.
Yeah, hello, everyone. My name is Abdul Basit, but I go by Big Bass. I'm an international student. I'm a sophomore right now, so I'm just like in the middle of my college process, you know.
Well, welcome to the show, man. Last we have here, Buba.
Yeah, hello, everyone. My name is Buba Joshua, and my artist name is Buba J. I'm an international student in OSU, and I'm studying business management, and a minor in psychology. And also I'm in my senior year as well.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Last but not least, we have Raheem. Raheem, welcome to the show. Tell us a little about yourself.
Hello, my name is Raheem Taylor Parks. I'm a senior at Oregon State. I'm on the men's soccer team here, and I'm happy to introduce, you know, the Mandem music here on the show with Case. Thanks for Case for giving us the opportunity today.
Of course, man. All you guys are from Nigeria?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Except for Raheem. Yeah. Raheem, where are you from?
Me, I'm from Toronto, Canada. Okay. I relocated to Tampa, Florida when I was 8 years old. Wow. But kind of like an international story as well. My parents are Jamaican, very close cultural similarities to Nigeria as well. So I could kind of relate.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you would say that the Jamaican culture and the Nigerian culture are very similar?
Very similar.
Interesting.
Very similar.
Okay. So that's cool. So you guys probably hit it off right in the beginning when you guys met each other.
Mm-hmm. It didn't even take 5 minutes, man. The guy's too funny.
As soon as I met Raheem, I was like, man, you might need to start your own show, man. okay, well, so talk to me. Let's start with, since we did it with the introductions, we're just going to start with you, Kaladi. Tell me, what made you decide to come to the U.S. when you were studying in high school? And at what point, like, how old were you when you're like, you know what, I want to go to the United States?
My story is kind of complex, because I didn't really come straight from Nigeria to the US.
Okay.
So I was born in Nigeria and obviously studied there. I went to Bodija International School. And then my parents, obviously my mom lived in England, and my dad was obviously quite occupied with a lot of work in Nigeria. So I moved to England with my mom. And then when I got to England was when I was just kind of into sport, and kind of sport just took me to a lot of places. So I ended up signing for a club in the Division Two called Ipswich Town, and they're quite a well-known club, and through there is where I kind of got the scholarship opportunity to come out to the United States. But I think what really pushed me, because at that stage of my life, I could have made the decision whether to obviously continue playing football at the highest standard in England and not obviously get any education, and I didn't really want the input of anyone else. So I kind of looked at my surroundings and the people who are around me and the sort of things that were happening in London at the time. And all I ever had was things that I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be like no one else. I didn't want to have the same sort of story as anyone else. And I just kind of thought, you know what, I'm going to go out to America. I'm going to obviously play football. I'm going to get educated. And I'm going to obviously become a man out there. So I think those are all the things that kind of pushed me to moving out to America. And obviously, like, 3.5 years into the journey now, I think it's the best decision I've ever made in my life, because now I'm doing everything that I love. So, yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Now, I do want to get back later to the education that you're receiving here and what you want to do with it later in the show. So I'll remind you of that later. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Basit. Tell us your story and how you ended up, you know, coming to the U.S. and going to school here.
Okay, yeah. So I went to school in Nigeria. I did high school in Nigeria.
Okay.
I was done with high school in 2016. I moved to England for A-levels, is what they call it there, where it's like pre-degree, like college.
Right, the IGCSE program?
Yeah, kind of like that, but like more advanced. Yeah, so I was...
Isn't the IGCSE the 9th and 10th, and then A-levels are 11 and 12?
No, actually, it's like in Nigeria, high school is actually 6 years, so we actually go all the way to like year 12. Yeah, so I did like the 6 years of high school, but then I still wasn't old enough to go to college, so I had to like do 2 years of A-levels, which is what I did. And then after that, I could have decided to go to school in England, which was the plan, but then due to some circumstances and like better opportunities in America and all that, yeah, I just decided to come to school in America.
So the original plan was for you to finish your O-levels and A-levels and then go to London and play football, or just go and study there?
Study there. Yeah.
Just go and study there. Nice. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back to some of that stuff down the road. Wubba, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up here in the U.S.?
Basically, I did my high school in Nigeria. I was born and I grew up in Nigeria. And along the line, after I graduated, I went to Canada to start my foundation for myself. And initially, I was supposed to stay in Canada and finish up my whole degree and whatever I wanted to do there. But when I was there, it kind of felt kind of, I didn't have no focus there. It was just more of me just wanting to do what I wanted to do and not having to do what I need to do. So coming to America, I applied to go to OSU and I got a scholarship here, and I found it to be a place I would be able to like focus and, you know, go through school and probably eventually go back to Canada when I'm done from here. So.
Oh, okay. So you don't have plans on moving back to Nigeria. You might move back to Canada.
I would definitely move back to Nigeria after my studies, and once I feel like I'm ready to, you know, go back and be in that environment and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Raheem, tell us about yourself a little bit. I mean, I know that story's a little different, but we definitely want to hear it.
Yeah. So I was born in Toronto, Canada. My parents immigrated there from Jamaica when I was young. So I was born in Canada. I lived there until I was 9 years old. Then we relocated to Florida in 2008. I started picking up soccer like at age 8 or 9. I played for 1 year in Canada, and then I started playing in the United States. I joined like a small local club, you know. I mean, I was literally like the only black kid on my team, and like in the South too, the parents would just be like, "Go, Raheem, run for the ball and stuff." Like, it's funny, but that's kind of like background I come from. I actually started getting very good. I started playing for like the youth national teams of the United States and Canada as well. From there, kind of got scouted to go to the Philadelphia Union Academy, which is like an MLS team. So every MLS team, which is professional soccer in the United States, for those who don't know, they have their own like academy team that goes from like around U12 to under 18. And then when you reach under 18, you either sign professionally and they select a few guys, or you either get an opportunity to go to college. So I originally got a scholarship to attend the University of Virginia, which I was there for 2 years. And then I came to Oregon State because my assistant coach at Virginia actually became the head coach here at Oregon State. So I followed him just, you know, in pursuing more playing time and more opportunities. So that's kind of what took me here to OSU.
Well, that's interesting, man. I'll tell you what, we all have crazy stories. I mean, not to shift the focus in any way, but I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas, and I moved to the country of Jordan at the age of 8, and I lived there until I graduated high school. But I understand the moving around and stuff like that. You know, it's I personally think it's tough in some ways, but it really makes us cosmopolitan. Would you guys agree? Do you guys feel like because you've moved around so much, because you've experienced so much traveling and stuff, that you're able to talk to and communicate with all walks of life? Would you guys agree to that?
Yeah.
America is such a big country that, you know, people go, when they travel far, they're traveling from coast to coast. But when you actually travel internationally and see the different cultures, I think it gives your mind, it widens your mind and helps you accept other people, which is why we're here to talk today. Definitely. Marginalized people are not being accepted worldwide. Right. And whether it's a nationalistic movement or it's a racist backed movement here in the U.S., it seems like every country has their issues. And so I would like to dive a little bit into what is going on in Nigeria. OK, now, I know that there's been a little bit of some police abuse in Nigeria going on, and there's some here, too. It's crazy how the tensions are so high. I know that your guys' president, what is his name, Muhammadu Buhari?
Yeah.
Address the nation and stuff like that. Do you guys feel like him addressing the nation was helpful? Or do you feel like it made things worse?
Nah, I wouldn't say made things worse. I just feel like it showed how he didn't really care in a way, because like it was even meant to be like a live show of the interview that he was doing, but then it wasn't actually live. It was like cut clips that they already took and they just put together and released to the masses as like, oh, take this and shut up, instead of like really addressing what was really happening. Because in the interview, he didn't really address what was going on. He didn't talk about the people that had died, what was happening. He just said, oh, we're going to try and create some reforms. He didn't talk about how the police were going to be dealt with and all that, really.
What do you guys think, Kaladi, Buba?
I say that even after he addressed people and everything that was going on, he didn't really come out to like reason with anyone, or he didn't come out to like face the questions that were being thrown at him and stuff like that. He kind of like ignored everything that, it was like, okay, I'm ignoring whatever is going on, and I'm going to start looking at what we need to do as the government, and not what we need to do for the people. So it was just kind of frustrating that he came and he wasn't even like, he didn't try to console even the people, the families that lost people fighting and stuff like that. So it just made everything very gloomy and sad, and even to the point that I heard that they were giving curfews in Nigeria and stuff, and which is very frustrating with Corona going on and stuff. So there's a lot that really went down that wasn't okay with the whole speech he gave.
Kaladi, what are your thoughts?
I think for me, it kind of just highlights the problem that's going on in Nigeria in terms of people don't care about people. And I feel like what everybody's kind of screaming for, if you kind of break it down, is empathy in terms of the lack of resources, the unfair treatment by those in power, the unfair sharing of the resources, and those who have the knowledge and the power only use it to benefit those that are close to them, kind of thing. And the statement that he gave, it didn't really hold any weight, because as Bubba said, he didn't address the people, he didn't address those who were involved in all the shootings, that they were killing the people. So it's almost like the younger generation who aren't willing to accept the old terms that have been laid, they're still being ignored, because the people that are in power are still the older generation. So it just kind of shows that like the youth of Nigeria want progress and growth, but the older generation Do you know what I mean? They're still stuck in the ways of, you know, dictatorship, and that's not how people want the country to run anymore.
Isn't it crazy weird to see the similarities that are going on in Nigeria and here in the U.S.? Raheem, talk to me about it. I mean, hearing this from your friends and living it in the United States, I mean, this seems to be almost identical to what we're facing right now here in the U.S.
I think the only difference is the skin color. I mean, really, like, especially I know there's similarities in Jamaica too, you know, like black people. I mean, we come from a history of being kings and queens, and it's just a shame to see us treating each other in this way. I mean, like, we're supposed to all be working together, ensuring that we're able to just all strive and thrive together. Just to see people in power just kind of, it's kind of like just selling out your own people in order to personally benefit yourself. It's just such a shame, because all of our countries just have so much wealth, like just the type of like natural resources that we have. Everybody could literally just eat, like everybody could literally be successful. And it's just a shame to see like a small minority group of people be in power and just have the ability to just strip all those economic resources and fund themselves. And right. I think it's just pure selfishness. And it's just a pattern that we see in a lot of African nations with a lot of civil unrest. It's a pattern that we see in Black Caribbean countries such as Jamaica. And it's just something that we, like, it's just something that's been holding us back for years upon years. Like, people will always talk about, you know, white people holding the black man down. But there comes to a point where we got to come together ourselves. And when that time comes where we all come together and we're ready for it, that's when the real change will happen.
You know, can I add to that?
Yeah, please.
You see what you're saying there? It's so spot on. And something I've always thought about is that, like, back then, because of how, like, scarce all the resources were and all the knowledge that people didn't have, it was almost like, well, if I have access to this, I'm doing this for my own benefit, and you guys have to figure it out yourself. But now we're in a generation where we've been given access to the information. We know where the resources are. We know who dictates what. Do you know what I mean? So it's like everything's out and open, and people are kind of tired of living that, like, oh, I'm struggling kind of lifestyle. So what, in terms of what Raheem is saying, the selfish habits that a lot of black nations and communities have developed is kind of like, it's something that has to be broken if anything's going to happen in terms of progress.
So for the sake of the listeners, can we say that the tensions that are happening in Nigeria are based on ethnic and religious issues? Is it the people just don't want to be in poverty anymore? Or is it fueled from religion and just a different subgroup or subculture within the Nigerian culture?
I feel like once it comes to like the Nigerian people as a whole, there has a lot of people who are like, literally almost everywhere in the world you go, you meet like a Nigerian person there. So we have seen what's out there in the world, and we have seen what the world is being able to like give people once things are being put in order and everyone's following the system. Once we see other parts of the world progressing, we as Nigerians, we also want the same. The government doesn't want to allow that. So as Kolade said, that back in the day, that people just want to strive for themselves instead of like what makes the whole community better or what makes everything move. A lot of these African countries have so many resources that should make them be big industrialized places that everyone should want to visit and people should want to go. And we're in 2020 where everything is very modernized, and for us to still be living like we are living back in the 90s and stuff like that, it doesn't feel right. And that's what people are trying to like change.
So it's more of a progressive movement that's causing big issues. So the unrest that happened, I know that people were getting shot and killed in Nigeria just recently. And the military, I think it was just straight shooting up people. Is this true?
Bas can answer this one.
Yes, it is. It was at a protest that was happening in Lekki. And it was a peaceful protest. Everyone was just there. It was at around like 7 p.m. Everyone was at the toll gate because they were literally, they had the protest at the toll gate to stop people from like going past, like cars going past. or getting to the other side, but it was peaceful because there was also a curfew put in place. So like everyone, no one is there at that time.
Yeah.
And the curfew was put in place for 10 p.m. But then this was still like 7 p.m. in the evening. So people were still allowed to be outside protesting. But then it was literally like a whole setup, like a plan, because they came and like they turned off all the lights that were there. And like it was like they planned it. They took off the cameras and they just came and like started shooting people. So it was like they planned it to come and do this because they didn't want the people to be there at that time because they didn't want them to protest.
I mean, according to the National Human Rights Commission, they're saying that on March 30th, 18 people were killed by the police during that whole incident. You know, they're saying that this isn't a new phenomenon and that the Nigerian police have been notorious for abusing human rights and their brutality.
For years now, it's been going on since like 2017. That's when the whole SARS thing really started. And that's when they really started killing people. But then it wasn't really known or it wasn't really out there, or like the awareness for it wasn't out there. But like the people that lived there knew what was happening. I think it's just the world that's really knowing now what's happening. But then it's really an old thing.
Well, talk to me, guys, about you coming to the U.S. and seeing all of the murders of innocent Black men and some women. You know, you guys at home, it's like this. And then you come to this land of supposed freedom and this land of opportunity, which there is freedom and opportunity. But do you guys feel still like unsafe here in the U.S.?
I would say, yeah, definitely there is, because obviously there's the evidence that everyone's dying, and you know what I'm saying? As an international, I feel like you have a bit of a leeway as soon as people hear you speak. So that's one aspect of it. But if you look at it in a collective, like, you don't really feel safe. And it's like a worldwide thing. Anytime you see a police officer as a Black guy, there's always a worry of, is he going to double check whatever I'm doing? Is he going to...
You feel like that in London?
Oh, 100 million percent.
Really?
Yeah. As in, like, London police officers, I would say I'm not as scared, but I'm still as wary. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, them sort of things are things that, like, as a human being, you shouldn't even have to worry about. Because if I ask my, because I have loads of friends from different other races, and if I ask them, how do you feel when you see a police officer? To them, it's just like seeing any other person. But to people like us, when you see a police officer, there's a sense of worry. There's a sense of, I don't know the next decision that's going to happen or whatever decision he's going to take that's based on my life. And for me, being in America, when all of this stuff is happening, it kind of makes you think that, like, some people don't even view you as equal. Do you know what I mean? And you shouldn't, you shouldn't, yeah, you shouldn't ever feel like that. Do you know what I mean? Because naturally, if you feel like that, the way you're going to move on a day-to-day basis is going to, you know what I mean? It's going to be a negative. Whereas if your mind is free and you can do whatever you want and feel like everybody in the environment is for you, you're going to behave in such a way where your mind is free to create and be happy all the time. So there's definitely huge social effects that happens based on all of the things that's happening.
I think it's very interesting that the Nigerian police, and like when we talk about police brutality in the United States, most of the cases are a white cop shoots a Black male, whereas in Nigeria or other African nations, you got a Black cop shooting his own, a Black male. And it's just like a very main component of that is a position of power. And just the position of power that when you're in a position of authority, what you do with that authority and what you could get away with. And we could say, like, yeah, police brutality, like, it's a race thing, but it's also a very thing about authority and power. And how are people in authority, how are they supposed to police people that they think are below them, but we're all supposed to be the same. We're all supposed to be citizens. But how are you going to police someone if you don't even see them as equal to you? Then you're going to see them as something less than you. And that's just one of the main components of it, like just abuse of power.
Well, the sad thing is that, you know, it's like wherever you go now, right? I mean, you can't feel safe in any country. And even in here in our own home country, in y'all's own home country, seems like it's this constant battle that members of the Black community have to go through. And I think it's just, it shocks me that we're supposed to be modern people and still thinking this way and still having these issues is mind-boggling. And so that leads me to my next question, guys. I want to know, do you feel like you guys can express yourselves more here in the U.S. than you can in Nigeria, for instance?
That's a good question.
I don't want this to get back to Nigeria and anybody get in trouble with the government. You know what I mean? Be honest with me. And if you're comfortable answering this question, I would like to know.
I'll give a quick answer because I feel like Bubba and Bass will have a more detailed answer. I feel like for all four of us, because obviously all of us are friends, obviously out of whatever this is and the interview and whatever, I feel like all of us are naturally, we're all people who try to show others that you can express yourself and just be yourself on a day-to-day basis. So I feel like it doesn't matter what kind of surroundings we're in, I feel like the way we try to, you know, live and speak kind of shows for that, you know what I mean, in terms of expressing yourself. But in terms of vocalizing stuff like political things, vocalizing racial things and them sort of things, I feel like it's easier to do it abroad in terms of Europe, America, all of them sort of places, because there's voices that are willing to listen and voices that are willing to create that change. Whereas when you're in places like Nigeria, the first thing they're going to tell you, shut up, who do you think you are? Do you know what I mean? Because the thing is, they don't see you as a person that holds any authority, going back to what Raheem says. And when they view you in that way, it's almost like your voice, you have a voice for speaking, but your voice doesn't hold any, you know, any weight in terms of developing meaning and creating change. So that's how I see it.
Interesting. You guys have anything to add to that, Bubba and Basit?
Yeah, based on what Kaladi said about, like, they're not willing to listen to you.
Stop
like,
calling me Kaladi. Call me Cole. You're not calling me Cole. Use Kaladi. Call me Cole.
Calling him by his government name.
Yeah, man. You got to edit that out.
I'll edit that out. I got you.
Anytime you don't call me, they don't call me Kaladi. Only people who don't know me call me Kaladi.
All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, based on what Cole was saying, that here it's easier to express yourself because people are willing to listen. Yeah, because like back home, they feel like you have to have something or have something to offer them before they would actually listen to you. Whereas here, whatever you have to say, they would actually listen to you first before making a decision.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bubba, you have anything to add to that? Do you feel like you can express yourself better here in the U.S. than you could potentially in Nigeria?
I feel like yeah, like based on what they said, I probably have the same answers as well. Because, you know, back home is always like, as a normal person, what you're saying doesn't hold weight or nothing. But if you're more like, if you're someone who's like got something to offer, then you'll definitely be able to, because at that point you'll be speaking for a whole lot of people. And not just what you're just saying and stuff like that. But like here, I feel like you're able to like voice out your individual thoughts and everything is being taken and, you know, being considered and stuff like that.
So with that being said, guys, how have you guys expressed yourselves here in the U.S.? Via music, via protest, via stuff like this? I mean, how is it that you guys are expressing yourselves to get to the largest amount of people?
I would say music is definitely an outlet for us. Because I remember when, you know, all the police brutality was at a very high poignant stage. I remember all of us just feeling very down, being in the studio. There weren't really no positive vibes and anything kind of... especially for me, like social media, because there was so much people advocating, and obviously because it was a positive movement and whatever, for me, it was just kind of like, music was a way to kind of, you know, express the pain and answer questions like, why are things like this and why aren't they the way they're supposed to be in terms of valuing each other as human beings, in terms of showing love to each other. So I feel like music is definitely an outlet in terms of showing how we feel about situations and asking the questions.
Yeah. I feel like, especially for them, like, I don't think people realize how difficult it was for a time for young Black people during that time period, because you had COVID going on, people were trapped in their homes, and all you could do is just be on your phone all day and just see the updates of just young Black men or Black women your age just dying, just being killed by people who are not supposed to be killing them, who are supposed to be protecting them. And it's like, you were just thinking to yourself, like, that could have been me, that could have been Cole, that could have been Basit, that could have been Booba, that could have been one of my friends. Like, and it was just like, you were just trapped in your house and you're just on your phone. I remember just being on my phone one day for like the whole day, like 9-10 hours. And I was just like, you know, I need a break from all this. And for them, I feel like through their music, they're able to express themselves, get away from all that, kind of just, whether that be, sometimes the music wasn't even really about the movement. It could have been something about something else, because it was, there's just sometimes where it's just so overwhelming that you don't want to just keep on thinking about it and making music about it. You just want to take yourself away from that. So I think they did a great job in like just making their music just more diverse during that time period, like just rapping and singing about different topics other than that. And that's what really got their mind off of it, because just how stressful it was as a young Black man to just be seeing that stuff every single day. It was just heartbreaking, and it was just very hard on the mental. Like, so I think their music was just a great way for them to just get away from that.
Well, now that you've brought that up, I'm glad you did. This is a perfect segue into talking about music, because music is poetry, and poetry is a reflection of your reality, right? It is what you see and what you comprehend and then recite and say out. So I'm glad that you brought this up. Let me talk to you guys about Pattern Up. I got Raheem sent me a couple tracks, and the ones I liked the most were The People of Color and Pattern Up. Now, did all three of you guys record that?
Yeah.
Tell them a little bit about like the creative process of like making your songs, because I've been there personally, and these guys are dope, man. They're very creative. And when they're in the studio, they do their own music, they do their own mixing and mastering. Like, I don't think people realize how hard that process is, and they've learned it from head to toe by themselves on the computer every day, listening to their music, re-listening it to it over and over. And sometimes I've seen them bust out a couple songs in like an hour or two. So these guys are great, man.
Do I have you guys' permission to play this on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take a listen, and then you guys can talk to me about it afterwards. So we're going to go ahead and listen to Pattern Up.
Pattern Up, good advice. Take a look at Pikachu, eat more twice, yeah. Study family, all right. How you gonna sleep if it ain't all right, yeah? Before you run, make your shoes so tight. Talk a lot while your lips so white, yeah. Are you trapping on your jeans so tight? Talking money and you feel so right, yeah. Trying to make it on the daily. Making moves out of way on the favors. Break the rules, I ain't saying. But when we breaking bread, I be chasing. Grace, I ain't got no patience. Taking all the pain, I be craving. Finesse, cause the money feels amazing. Undressed, I don't even gotta pay for it.
Don Dada, big boss Dada. Said she was a lover, but I tell her I'm a sinner. Bad shot, make my brain scatter. Looking so sweet, so I call her senorita. The club popping out the liquor. Catching out the creeps, no visa. Trying to make the money and the
job. Damn, man, alright, I see you. Nice. Hey. All right, hey, where's K-Soul's part? Is it coming up?
For your run, make your shoes so tight. Talk a lot while your lips so white, yeah. Are you tapping on your jeans so tight? Talking money and you feel so right,
and it feels so right, and it feels so true. I don't just do talk, I do action too. That too.
Is this K-Soul?
Do the money like you, who are you? I'll pass on the side, and I'm off a move. Yeah. Got a message for you, babe. Gonna see me on your radar. Yeah.
Okay.
If I don't do it, everybody turn a red shot.
Pattern up, good advice. Take a look at Pikachu, eat more twice, yeah. Make sure the family alright.
Bro, that's
what's you, that's what it's crazy. Y'all get it, man.
I ain't happy that you're just so tight. Checking money and you feel so right, yeah.
Man, all right, so talk to me about it. First off, tell me what inspired you guys to do this song.
Boba, explain.
Please.
Holla at us, Booba.
I don't even know. Initially, I was just searching for beats online, and when I heard it, I just wanted to voice out a lot of things into the air, like, you know, just to help myself be sane. That's how it came about. And then I got the beat online and I did it, but we didn't really get to finish it for a while because it was a really old song, but then we brought it back over a period of time and we decided to finish it together and stuff like that.
So I have another track here that was sent to me. Thank you, Raheem, called People of Color. Let's take a listen to that one.
Get him. Are you gonna sit and let another man die? Fire in the street, burning, but we gon' fight. Word on the street is an eye for an eye. Demons in the sleep, I wake up, them are in disguise. Praying for the time, everything gonna be alright. Color on my skin is the way I should be alive. Living and breathing, but got to fight for human rights. Are you gonna fight for your rights? They take away the ones that I wish to stay. I wanna know why you make me feel this way. Price of my freedom is causing me pain. Take it to pop when I'm flying away.
Look who man stunting, working, dropping something, just relaxing. Careful, officer coming. Careful, the guns in the landing. How we gonna enter the race? How you gonna cancel my race? What did we do to your mama? What do we do to your father? As you say, do you see a young black king or a thief? Do you see a young black queen or a girl full of drama? Smile full of bullshit diamonds. We just wanna get our shine on. How we stay fighting for freedom? May the rest of them live on. I pray that we enter the kingdom.
They take away the ones that I wish to stay. I wanna know why you make me feel this way. Price of my freedom is causing me pain. Taking it to pop when I'm flying away.
Mr. Police, we are not people you can kill on the streets. And I have my pain, I want to delish. Top description, escaping the beast. How come my mind is never at ease? Will it stop when we get on our knees? I went to office, I guess off his knees. Taking the places of my pain. He's a human being, let's take care of him. We are human beings, let's take care of him. We are human beings, where's the unity? We are human beings, yeah.
I mean, wow, guys. I mean, honestly, forget about the lyrics, forget about the beat, the engineering behind it. You guys really know how to master the engineering behind it. I mean, the quality is amazing. So props to that on the quality, sound quality, and the way you guys put it together. Where did you guys record this at?
In the living room.
I'm literally playing FIFA in the background while they're doing
as they're recording
it. Never know.
Wow, guys, that's what's up. So let me ask you this. Is this what you guys want to do? Is this what you guys want to be as musicians?
I think for all of us here, we value the creative process of art kind of thing. And I feel like that's what kind of brought us together in terms of, you know, taking towards art and creating something that's beautiful and not just doing it in a way that anyone else is doing it. So like me being here, working here right now, you know, doing collabs, Booba and Bass, obviously back in Corvallis at the moment, we're still sending each other things to work on. So I feel like at this moment in time, it's definitely what we want to do because it's what we believe in kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And if you're not doing anything that you don't believe in and that you're happy with kind of thing, there's no point doing it. So I feel like everybody should just, you know, be ready for a lot of things that are coming because, you know, this is more than just a little hobby now. It's literally what we want to do kind of thing.
Basit and Booba, do you agree you guys want to be musicians?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the creation of music and being able to, like, make a sound, to me, is like I'm even speechless because, like, when I speak about it, sometimes it gets.
But basically, you're saying that music gets you to a place that you can't get to unless you're going through the music and writing. Is that what you're trying to say?
Definitely, yeah.
I understand. That's amazing.
For me, I would just say that music, because I just started music recently. Like, actually, I didn't used to do music before I met, like, Mandem. They were the ones that put me on. So I would just say music is, like, another outlet of me expressing myself, and it is something I would like to do in the future, like a job or like one of my jobs.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you this real quick. What's the name of you guys' group? Mandem?
Yeah, Mandem. Mm-hmm.
How do you spell that?
We actually write it like MDM, but like we just call each other Mandem.
Mandem, like, what does it mean?
Nah, it's so, Mandem so in Caribbean.
Yeah, it's like Caribbean. Literally, it's like Toronto slang, London slang, Caribbean slang. So Mandem literally means like you're chilling with your homies. So like someone's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm with the Mandem." That means you're with your boys. Like I'm chilling with the Mandem. So I mean, it's a pretty dope name, because it's like in Toronto culture and London culture, it's all mixed together, and then you have the Nigerians and Caribbeans that come together, so we all kind of understand the same lingo. So it's like, yeah, so I'm with the Mandem. Like, it's like, already know what it is.
I mean, honestly, this is some good stuff, man. And I'm not just saying that because I'm sitting here interviewing you guys. Like, I was digging both songs in different ways. Like, the first song, I was getting hype. I was like, okay. And then this song, I felt like, you know, okay, I'm about to be told a story, you know? And I think that's both very intense. Before I wrap this conversation up and this interview up, I want to ask you guys one last thing. So when you guys get close to finishing your studies, what is it that you guys have taken from the U.S., whether in education or just through the lifestyle, that you're going to take back with you to Nigeria?
Something I really learned here is like, the way, I wouldn't say there's freedom. So like everyone is free in expressing themselves and all that. And that's not really something that's coming back home. So that's something like I've learned out here, that if I go back home, I would try to like put in my community also to get everyone around me to feel free in expressing themselves and help them do that.
Okay, I like that. This is what traveling and studying abroad is all about, is bringing back wisdom, not just knowledge, but wisdom to your community and letting other people benefit from it too. Buba, what do you think that you felt like you have been taught here in the U.S., knowledge, wisdom, lifestyle, that you want to take back to your community? If you want to go back, I'm not saying you guys are going back. I'm just saying, if you guys want to go back, what would you take back with you?
I mean, for me, going back is a must, is a definitely, because myself, I feel like I'm more of a resource, because being out here and being able to like travel as much as I've traveled and being able to see as much as I've seen, I'll be given the opportunity to like, you know, being able to absorb a lot of stuff and grow as a human being. But one of the biggest things for me that I'll be able to take back home is I've learned how to, you know, grow by myself and be more of myself. I'm just ready to like go pull back all this knowledge I've learned, all this education I've had, this music experience, and I'm ready to go home and like, just put it in out there. I also want to be doing the things I'm doing here. I want to be able to like do them back home. So I want to be able to like create all opportunities and stuff like that.
That's amazing, man. I think that's the beauty of college and going to college in the U.S. is that you can do stuff like that, taking it back. Yeah. Kaladi or Cole, I think I've gotten to know you enough now.
Yeah, you got to know me enough. It's Cole now. It's Cole.
Thank God you're Cole.
For me, obviously, because I've lived in Nigeria and like London, two biggest things I've learned that I'm definitely taking back and I'll try to embody is, one is to be yourself, and two is anything you put your mind to, you can achieve. And I feel like I've learned that in America, because I've seen people who had nothing and just had a dream, and literally they navigated their way towards it and they weren't scared to be in themselves. And I feel like that's a skill that the world is slowly losing because of things like social media and, you know, the opinions of others and wanting to get to, you know, the top quicker than, you know, valuing the journey. And I feel like, especially with basketball and people like Raheem, on a day-to-day basis, when you're actively, you know, working to better yourself, you're always learning as well. Obviously, there's the educational side, but I feel like life lessons teach you more and they guide your decisions. So those are the two things that I kind of want to show people in England, that like being yourself is second to none, and having a dream will take you wherever you want to go. So
those are my two things. That's amazing, man. I really like that. Well, guys, it was a pleasure to have you on. Raheem, would you like to give us some final words before we sign off here?
First of all, just want to thank Case and 88.7 KBVR Radio. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given us today to all come together. This is Mandem Music. This is their first interview, so I know they'll remember this one for a long time. Thank you for giving them the opportunity to just kind of express themselves, talk about Nigeria and their music and their passion. I'm very passionate about these guys. I believe in their music. And I mean, I know that I'm going to do my best to push their music in any way possible. So thank you for giving us this opportunity, Case, to all come together today.
Hey, man, we're the ones everything. Who are honored to have you guys on.
Yeah.
Seriously. I just hope that when you guys are internationally famous, you know, let me get in another interview, you know, help me out. Yeah. You know what I
mean? No doubt.
Can you appreciate guys give me your social media platforms? Tell it to everybody, because this is also going on to the radio. So everybody on the radio on 88.7 is going to hear this. So go ahead, Cole, and give us your what media platform are you on the most? Insta?
Instagram. Twitter? So I use Instagram the most. My personal Instagram is at underscore Kso. So that's KSUL. And then we've got our Mandem Instagram, which is MDM Music.
MDM Music.
It's just MDM Music underscore.
Yeah. MDM Music underscore.
Okay. Basit, what's your Instagram? You on the gram?
Yeah, my Instagram is Big Bass 00. So like two O's at the end.
So BIGBASS?
No, BIGBASOO.
Oh, 00.
00.
Okay. And then Booba?
And mine is, my Instagram is Booba _Joshua. So BUBA, Booba _Joshua.
Joshua, nice. And Raheem?
Mine is _ Raheemovic. So Raheemovic _. It's just a soccer name that I know.
Ibrahimovic.
Exactly. For the fans out there who don't know.
He said Raheemovic. Yeah. I like it.
You know this guy trying to tell me his real name is Raheemovic.
Yeah. I'm out here trying to make people think I'm Russian in that.
You probably was like, man, your name is
He was selling it to me for ages. Yo, like, nah, blah.
Some people come up to me, like girls, and be like, oh, are you Raheemovic?
All right, guys. Well, I'll be in contact with you guys soon about the music to put on the radio. Once again, thank you for coming to the show. Cole, AKA Kaladi, Abdul Basit, Booba, Raheem, you guys have been so awesome. I love the fact that you guys were able to share all the information so that people out there, not only in Oregon, but internationally, can hear what it's like to be a musician and person who is expressing themselves and their reality in 2020 in such a hard time. So once again, thank you for coming to the show. Everyone out there, thank you for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Once again, this is Case Lozy, the host of Through the Multilens. And as always, keep believing in yourself, and I'll see you next week.